Welcome to the ASHP Official Podcast, your guide to issues related to medication use, public health, and the profession of pharmacy.
Thank you for joining us for the ASHP Pharmacy Leadership Podcast. This series focuses on leadership topics within pharmacy practice, including the business of pharmacy, development of leadership skills, career transitions, and more. My name is Majid Tanas, Vice President and Chief Pharmacy Officer at Legacy Health in Portland, Oregon, and I serve as the chair for the section of Pharmacy Practice Leaders, Multi-Hospital Pharmacy Executive Committee. Today, I'll be joined in a conversation by other healthcare leaders, including Trent Beach, Brian Lantham, Kimi Olatunji, and Benita Patel, to discuss workforce challenges facing organizations as it relates to pharmacy practice leadership positions. We hope to explore some creative solutions that may help prepare new leaders for hospital and health system pharmacy management positions. Welcome, and thanks for joining us today. We'll now start with each of the panelists introducing themselves. Trent, why don't you get us started off?
Good. Thank you. Happy to be here and to join you all. Trent Beach with UNC Health. I am a regional executive director for pharmacy.
And Brian Latham. I reside in Ohio with Bon Secours Mercy Health and help oversee our Ohio hospitals as part of our health system.
Thanks for having me. I'm Kimi Olatunji, Senior Director of Pharmacy Services for Acute Care within Riverside Health System in Virginia.
And I'm Benita Patel. I oversee pharmacy services here at Memorial Hermann Health System in Houston, Texas.
Well, let's get started with a quick question I think is on everybody's mind. And let's start with, have you in your hospital or your health system, have you seen a decrease in those interested in pharmacy leadership positions over the past 5 years? What do you think some of the likely factors are? Brian, let's hear from you.
Sure. Thanks, Majid. So a couple years ago in our health system, we had several director of pharmacy positions open in several of our hospitals. Most of our hospitals are community-based medical centers, and we noticed a lack of possibly internal applicants that had the preferred requirements of those positions or the training. And it caused us to take a pause to see what we could do better in the future. So some of our positions were filled internally. However, some of those were externally hired positions, I should say, with an extended time to recruit for those openings. So kind of some reasons we identified were, you know, maybe the work-life balance. We were post-COVID, several retirements or different positions in the ministry were open and transitioned. So we thought that might be one of the potential factors and why people maybe weren't interested in the leadership position. And then with residencies and many of our pharmacists doing residencies, that clinical track is where a lot of pharmacists are focused and leaving that to do administration or management might not be something they've considered as maybe another factor.
Kimi, what about you?
Absolutely. In our case, we've actually seen an increase in interest in leadership positions within our organization. At Riverside Health System, we're a 5-hospital health system, one of them in the rural side of Eastern Virginia. For us, we identified the need for us to be very intentional in actually growing our leaders from within as much as possible. And we've seen some good gains along those lines over the last 5 years. For us, really, we've had a strong history of promoting within the health system and also balancing that with external recruitment when it's appropriate. Several of our leaders within the health system now actually started as a PGY1 resident. One of them even started as an intern from pharmacy school and have just grown within the organization over time. The intentionality of our approach started more so about 3 years ago in identifying anybody that has the slightest interest in leadership off the bat. And this is done mostly at a facility-based level where we're having those conversations with our facility leaders and asking them during one-on-ones to say, do you have anybody on your team that has even just the remote interest in leadership? And then creating a platform to identify those and also wrap around services in terms of training and education, both formally and also informally for those people. And we're seeing definitely increase in interest from those frontline team members. And also within our own leadership team as well, we're being strategic and intentional with identifying opportunities that we know will become available in the near future and aligning people's interest with those opportunities. Maybe we know of somebody retiring or somebody that may be transitioning into a different role within the organization, and being very focused on creating that succession plan very early on. And we're seeing that materialize. We actually just promoted a clinical pharmacist into a director role for one of our smaller hospitals just as of last month. We're moving in the right direction and we're excited about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Kimmy. I can say that at UNC Health, we have had kind of a tradition of long-time leadership and leadership development through our program. I wanted to take a look at what does the data show with our pipeline. So I looked at some of the applications for our Health System Pharmacy Administration and Leadership, or HPAL, program. And we're actually seeing a decrease in the number of applicants to the program. While we're still plenty of applicants to be able to choose from, we are seeing a decrease. And I think one of the things I'm also alternatively seeing is that there seems to be an increase, maybe like what Brian is describing, an increase in desire for flexible schedules, more of a clinical focus and training, and maybe a little less looking at the responsibilities associated with leadership. UNC Health, we're noting that on a percentage basis that we're seeing fewer preferred career paths in leadership.
So now you have these leaders on your team. You mentioned, Trent, they have different maybe wishes and desires in their career, different stages in their life. But now that you have them on your team, how do you keep them engaged during these and challenging times? Benita, Trent, you guys have some ideas?
Yeah. So what we've done is help prioritize the workload around these challenging times. Our staff are heavily inundated. We're still not out of COVID. We just hit RSV. So we continue to get an influx of patients that we didn't expect from prior years. Continuing to help them prioritize their workflow. At the leadership level, we're going through an EMR transformation as well. And so just having them really focus in on a few priorities instead of trying to boil the ocean is what we say. Also, we're continuing to look at pay as that continues to come up, both at the site level all the way to the leadership level. And then continuing to look at pay and structure and make sure that makes sense. Thankfully, our organization has not had an issue with adding FTEs. So wherever we need to add FTEs, we've been able to do that. And last is being supportive across the board. That support among the senior leadership really translates into better outcomes at the direct patient care level.
Really appreciate your comments there, Benita. You know, at UNC Health, our leaders are really deeply involved in departmental planning. We lead through management by objective, and the leaders are intimately involved in creating those so that there's buy-in. We also give them autonomy within certain boundaries, of course, but we give them those autonomy for their key areas, their key decision makers, essentially. And I find it's really important to encourage and support their professional development. So identifying where they are in the course of growth and being able to get behind them and show them that we're really willing to invest time and money. You know, one of the things that I have found for getting our leaders engaged is two things. I like to think about them as inspire the spirit and fire the mind. We know that people want meaningfulness in their work. And for leaders, that's really no different. Maybe leaders have a different way they derive that meaning. It may be through accomplishment through their team or through larger group efforts. But really, in firing the mind, leadership, and it's not about yourself, it's about working and making a difference, connecting with others, working and making a difference in others, and maybe even for others. I have always encouraged them to have a passion for team and for others. And in doing so, I feel like I've always been able to have really, really engaged leaders.
Awesome. So now we've got your team built, you've recruited them. Let's change gears a little bit. Let's start talking about how do we then look at identifying other leaders? You know, we've talked a little bit about the challenges, so identifying new leaders and then figuring out how we want to train them for the future management role. I think we all know that healthcare is changing fast. COVID has accelerated a lot of that. We all know of the challenges we have with our current financial situations at many of our hospitals and health systems. Brian, what are some things that you've done on your team?
Sure. So in our system, our one of my cohorts and I developed an emerging leader program whereby each hospital was given the opportunity to have a current pharmacist or maybe a lead pharmacist that was interested in management participate in a year-long program. So through that program, they were given instruction via Zoom throughout the course of the year in 2023, looking at different topics that they might not have been exposed to in their either operational or clinical duties as a pharmacist. So that might include automation, strategy, leading change, some human resource topics, and managing people, as well as some of the financial components of managing labor and productivity, accreditation. So the leader of a department wears many hats. And so getting exposure to some of those hats or opportunities through this program was beneficial. And so they also had a project to work on throughout the year, helped to lead a committee, either a system committee meeting or a hospital committee meeting. And so giving them that exposure throughout 2023 has led to more interest. And what we're looking at for 2024 is taking a cohort of our pharmacy technicians who want to do more in the department and leadership, and hope to start that program in July for a 6-month program and develop them as well.
Kimmy?
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to echo what Brian said in terms of involving them in leadership growth opportunities, even outside of pharmacy itself, right? So that Imagine Leader Academy program is what we have within a health system, identifying people that really want to engage. It's also a program that gives them access to mentorship, right? Most people that lead that program serve as long-term mentors, and it's good for them to have mentors, not just within pharmacy, but also outside of pharmacy. So such a program gives them the opportunity to do that. The other piece is formal leadership training programs are great, but sometimes those informal coaching that needs to be done on a daily basis to help them think through situations that their leaders are dealing with within their own departments. So having a facility-based leaders engage in those coaching moments, whether through constructive feedback, but more importantly, actually positive reinforcement when they see them do something amongst their peers that can actually ignite their interest even further in leadership. So just keeping that in mind. The other piece for us is we know for somebody to move from one level to another, they need to continue to grow their business acumen, operational skill set, technical skill set, and all the other things that come along with being a strong leader within an organization. We also don't want to lose sight of those essential skills. They used to be called soft skills. We don't call them anymore because they're actually more important in many cases than the other hard skills that we normally think of. So creating an avenue for leaders to continue to grow with those essential skills, whether it's effective communication, conflict management, influencing other people, or even that transition from being a peer to a boss. So just looking for those classes offered by your organization or maybe external to your organization. And yes, everybody is busy, you know, with COVID, with, you know, financial pressures. We have a lot on our plates. But as the topic of this podcast mentioned, is we have to start today. We really can't wait till, you know, a year from now. We have to do little at a time to get everybody on the right track so that they have access to not just those technical, clinical, financial skills, but those essential skills that would make them successful leaders in the future.
So very similar to Kimmy and Brian, we're doing the same things around trying to develop new leaders and engage new leaders. I would say the one thing we do formally is we assess all of our leaders every year to determine where they fit into the succession planning or where they may want to fit as their next career move. And so we evaluate all of our leaders across the board from senior leadership all the way down to the manager level, and then talk about those leaders every year, not just to pharmacy leadership, but across leaderships in case folks want to move to other disciplines as well. It's nice to hear where folks want to go in the organization, and then we talk about how to get them there in terms of building up the skill set to get them to the next step. So that's a nice formal process we do every year to identify new leaders and their pathways as they want to move in the organization. We also add in a flight risk because as more leadership positions are available out there, as less people want to go into leadership positions across the country, we identify if they're a flight risk. And if they are, we put together tactics and plans to be able to keep them within the organization, to be able for them to continue to grow within Memorial Hermann.
Thanks for sharing all of that to the team. One of the questions I have in my mind that I've been kicking around, and I think the transition that we've talked about is how to move those emerging leaders who are maybe more in the clinical or non-formal leadership, you know, title leadership, but they are leaders, and figure out how to move those individuals into a position where they can sustain and success that leadership trajectory that they're on. And Benita, you shared a little bit about that flight risk, but Trent and Brian, I'd love to hear some thoughts from you. Sometimes that technical or clinical skill doesn't always translate into a strong leadership skill. What are some ideas of how you're transforming some of those leaders or those individuals that are emerging leaders into more formal leaders? You know, do you have formal development tracks? Have you created a method or a program to train up leaders internally? Or have you considered external training programs? Like, what are some of your thoughts that you're doing within your own organization?
Be happy to start with that. And if you'd like to pick up, Brian, there's a number of folks that are always in your eye, if you're paying attention on your team, who may not have wanted to step out and say, hey, I'd really like to have a formal leadership role. But I find that many people have a penchant towards leadership and that they, within certain scopes, do a really, really good job of that. I often like, if they're not going to self-select and come to me and say, hey, I'd really like to have some leadership growth opportunity, I usually like to do state interviews. Having interviews with the teammates, I don't expect them to necessarily leave, but I don't necessarily expect them to come to me and say, hey, I'd like to really move into leadership. But during those opportunities to learn what their interests are, where they would like to see, and oftentimes you can see that little tip of an iceberg or that inkling of interest, and that you could then point to them and say, hey, you know, you've done well in certain projects, certain roles maybe that you've asked them to do. And in so doing, you can encourage them and encourage the mind, be able to get them to think about it in a more formal way. I think that key performers often do a good job. They get maybe a pat on the back, but never an encouragement to take that next step. And so really, it's about identifying them, giving them an assignment, finding other ways. And then you were asking about what have we encouraged them to do? Obviously, internally, we try to work with them through coaching and career development, things like that. But UNC has a really great master's program. We have often encouraged them to apply and go through the master's program if they really wanted to be like a Big L type leader. But we also encourage some of our coordinators to pursue formal training through the Pharmacy Leadership Academy, a really good program. Brian?
Sure. Thanks, Trent. As Majid mentioned, as you're transitioning these emerging leaders into formal leadership positions, often trying to give them a project to work on to start out with, whether it's at the hospital level or we have more of a system pharmacy focus that's developed over the last few years. So participation on a system committee or maybe even leading one of those groups, whether it be clinical or operational, just to give them that exposure to others and other leaders, how they interact with others. As new leaders enter those formal leadership positions, we've tried to link them up with a peer mentor. That's usually another director at another hospital within our system that's experienced different reports that they're responsible for, how to manage the operations or P&T, things like that, that they can lean on informally to get information from them and understanding of how to approach different situations. There's also, similar to a new staff member coming on board, an orientation checklist. So we try to develop for our leaders, what areas and who in the system has that expertise that can meet with each leader so that they can pass on some of that knowledge or at least meet with them. And then they're available for future consult if and when something comes up regarding let's say 340B or medication safety or something related to a finance question, so that in the future, as those topics come up, they have that opportunity to interact with those individuals. As Trent mentioned, formal leadership programs are great. I mentioned our hospital system as mostly community-based, so we don't have a formal HSPAL program. So we do look externally at master's programs where they're offered, or MBAs, and encourage that with tuition assistance. But there is the ASHP Leadership Academy that we've also encouraged as well.
One of the challenges that I've found in my own personal career is oftentimes the clinical mind doesn't transition very well into the leadership mind. You know, we have, I always say there's two hats that pharmacists have to wear. A third, if you want to talk about business development as well. And so it's great to hear some of your thoughts from both of you about sending people out and getting some of those trainings. I heard the PLA with ASHP, and I know several people who've gone through that found that beneficial. Well, as we wrap up here, I want to ask everybody here to kind of weigh in. We'll start with you, Kimi, about when you took your first steps towards leadership, what do you wish you knew back then that would have helped you along your journey?
Absolutely. I actually had a non-traditional transition from clinical practice to leadership. I transitioned into leadership 6 months after graduating from pharmacy school when I got my MBA too as well. I don't always recommend this path. It's a unique path. I had the opportunity when a leadership position opened and I needed to just decide, do I want to stay on the clinical track even much longer or take that bold move into leadership? So for me, the biggest lesson just looking back is leadership is not about you, and then it's everything about you. So when I say it's not about you, it's about the team. It's really about transitioning from assuming the subject matter expert role on any team that you're performing on and taking on the hat of being the mentor and the champion for everybody else on your team and setting them up to succeed. It's a huge transition that a lot of people really sometimes struggle to make. It's just remembering that when you're the leader, is you need to get the right people on the right seat, on the right boss. And your job is to remove barriers along their way, create an environment for them to really grow and thrive and have them maximize their skill set and supporting them every step of the way. And when you do that well, the outcome follows. So I think it's that transition from doing to supporting and just understanding that your role now is very different.
I would echo Kimi's comments. I would say for me, it's really been about learning every detail that we learned along the way to really understand the why behind it, because one day you'll likely encounter that same detail or that same experience, but at a much broader, bigger scope, especially in our levels. For me, it was, and as I tell my residents, is the small stuff, think about it and think about the why, and then one day you'll connect all the whys together to make the best decision for your organization.
The pathways to leadership are varied. You can, maybe some people know in pharmacy school, this is for sure the path I want to take, but others, it's become part of when you get your first job and just trying to learn the ropes of that, just realizing that you can make a difference as a pharmacy leader, changing policies or practice for the benefit of the whole hospital or the health system as you might move into different roles and responsibilities. So never think that this isn't a path that's not for me. Consider it and encourage others to participate in the committee or inform a leadership position to see if they like that as a way to maybe investigate if it's something to develop yourself or others.
I appreciate the comments. I would add, and to some extent, echo a little bit of what you guys have said. I think that when I was a younger leader, I was in critical care. And for me, it was really about being there for the physicians when we were on rounds, knowing what the patient's labs were, what the reaction of the patient to the drug that we had, being able to be a resource of information, to be able to problem solve with the physicians and all. Taking those clinical skills and then translating them to leadership, I tried to do the same thing, be able to have all the answers for all the folks that would purport to follow me. But it was really eye-opening over time that I realized that it's not about me. It's really about the folks that I'm facilitating for, that I'm helping to identify the answers they may already know and being able to pull that out of them. It's really about pulling things out of the folks that are on my team and be able to facilitate for them. So as I look back, that would be the one thing that I might have tried to learn a little sooner, transitioning from a clinician to a leader.
We heard today around engaging the young leaders with our strategic plans, helping prioritize their work, and helping to inspire their hearts and mind. We discussed getting emerging leaders involved with projects and mentorship to help them develop their soft skills. We discussed about evaluating leaders' career path and developing educational programs to keep them engaged within the conversation. We all know those who are shining and engaging in our department, and it is important for us to learn that what we do can impact their future career. Having them partner up with a senior leader who can act as the consultant to keep them psychologically safe and have a learning environment is key and essential for developing some of these leaders. And as Trent just ended on, we don't need to always know all the answers. It's important that you recognize that you're helping to facilitate a team to get the best result for the patient. Considering all the options and encouraging others to join leadership is an important part of our own leaders. As my favorite author, Simon Sinek, says, leadership is not being in charge. It is taking care of those in your charge. And as a leader of people, we are in charge of those who are taking care of those who are taking care of those who are taking care of our patients. Thank you to our panelists for sharing their thoughts on the leadership challenges in pharmacy. This concludes our time here for this topic. Join us here on Tuesdays, where we will be talking with ASHP members about leadership topics and the pharmacy practice.
Thank you for listening to ASHP Official, the voice of pharmacists advancing healthcare. Be sure to visit ashp.org/podcast to discover more great episodes, access show notes, and download the episode transcript. If you loved the episode and want to hear more, be sure to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. Join us next time on ASHP Official.